Welcome to Education Conversations, where we share ideas on education today and explore ways to help students and teachers thrive. Thank you for tuning into this episode, From Kitchen to Classroom, Teaching Students the Art and Heart of Cooking. Today, we're going to explore what happens when passion serves the greater good. Chefs Andrew Grossman and Gordon Gregory blended their collective love for food with education. By combining their entrepreneurial mindset, they now operate Tornado Kitchen, which is a school program that introduces students to culinary arts and healthy eating. While we won't be able to taste their delicious dishes in this podcast, we will surely learn a lot about how they turn their passion for good food and healthy cooking into a successful teaching model.
Okay, listeners, it is so great to be back on the podcast. We have some special guests today. We've got Andrew Grossman and we have Gordon Gregory, which I've learned and we're going to continue to call throughout the podcast is Chef G. We've got these two amazing guests with us today, and I think we're going to have some great conversations and just really want to thank the two of you all for being a part of today's podcast.
Yeah, great. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, maybe our listeners are wondering why in the heck we have Andrew Grossman and Chef G on this. And I know Thomas did a little bit of a tee up, but certainly we want to learn a little bit about your entrepreneurial background, the passion that you guys have, and what kind of was created that brought this whole birth of the Tornado Kitchen for Booker Tornado, right? Into existence. But before we go into all of that, we always want to hear a little bit about the backstory. And this is fun because we have the two of you all. And for the listeners, I think there's going to be a lot of camaraderie here, but maybe I'll start with you, Andrew. Tell us a little bit about what drew you into this life's work.
Sure. Yeah. I spent my whole career in the service industry, started working in restaurants at the age of 15 and went down more traditional path of high school and post-secondary education, but always was drawn to the restaurant industry. So I worked for a high-end, really amazing restaurant in Chicago for 5 years. And that sort of served as a almost like a graduate degree. And I learned so much. And from there, I went on and wound up starting my own company, and which was a beverage wholesale business. And I couldn't have done it without the help of just very generous, benevolent people along the way. And I always said, if later in the back end of my career, I'd love to pay that forward. So my family and I moved to Sarasota, and I had sold my business, and I was curious and kind of kicking around what's going on in the Sarasota food scene. And I was having a very hotly discussed debate about food with a good friend of mine. And I asked him, well, who makes the best sandwich in Sarasota? And he said, well, you got to go to G Southern Kitchen. It's the best fried chicken sandwich in the city. So I went, and he was right. And, but more importantly, not only did I discover the sandwich, but I met, Gordon here, and, we just immediately realized we were kindred spirits, when it comes to things like family, food, entrepreneurship, and doing good in the community. So we instantly hit it off, and, fast forward 5 years, here we are today.
That is great. And so Chef G, what's your backstory?
Well, mine is a little bit more drawn out, so I'm not going to go into the full 25 years of it. But I mean, just for the gist of it, I came up in industry kind of like everyone else would. They start out fast food, caught a bug, and just kind of like went from there. But my initial passion and love came from when I met my wife now of 25 years. We started dating and I wanted to kind of set myself apart from everybody else.
So that was a smart move. Smart move, smart man.
So, you know, I made a dish for her and her grandmother, and they both loved it. And then I just had to keep going. So, you know, I had to continue to up the skills, continue to make good food for them. And it just kind of went from there. Later on, initially we were in Tampa, I moved here to Sarasota. And, you know, I found my way into a culinary school. From there, found my way to being with Nancy's Barbecue for 5 years. Ended up at Palm Bear Country Club for a while. And I started my own thing. G Southern Kitchen started in 2015. I was doing a lot of catering, a lot of private things, private dining and so forth. I had the opportunity to do the concessions at Bobby Jones Golf Course. And that's where G's really flourished. That's where we got some notoriety, some things hit, and we were actually able to stay open during COVID, because that's like we started right before COVID hit. So we kind of hit like a sweet spot.
Yes.
We started in, I want to say November of 2019. And then, you know, COVID hit sometime like in the beginning of 2020. So we were able to stay open throughout the entire time because we were considered essential. And we fed a lot of people, a lot of homes. And that was during the time where I met Andrew. And like you said, we just kind of hit it off from the beginning. You know, initially started with the food and we'd have conversations about the community and how more people need to know about this particular industry. We started having more and more conversations about what we could do to give back. And, you know, from there, you know, Tornado Kitchen and Booker Bakery were born.
That is such a fantastic story. And so what was the impetus of you all actually creating this?
Sure. We wanted to start it at the beginning. The primary idea was to create an incubator, and it was sort of an, if you build it, you know, will they come? And it was a little bit amorphous in the beginning where we didn't know what the demand was, but we certainly knew that, at least in my community that I grew up in, there was a certain stigma around the service industry that was the job you did while you worked on your career. And it wasn't for me until I got into the restaurant industry that I realized that there's all this flourishing industry surrounding the restaurant, not even just in the restaurant. But, you know, I obviously went into wholesale and you know, you can be an in-house lawyer, you can be an accountant or a bookkeeper. But if you love food, there's all these supporting industries. But most people I talk to, even if they're on one of the kind of secondary, you know, industries that are connected to it, they all got started in the restaurant business. So we wanted to create this incubator where students could come and at the very least get a foundation for how to cook, which is such an essential life skill. And I think a lot of kids learn it too late in life. But we really wanted to put an emphasis on careers and vocational training. So that's how it started. And then from there, it morphed even more so into sort of this entrepreneurial incubator as well, where we get to teach the students, how do you write a business plan and how do you work on the mission statement and the marketing and the financials. And so we hoped that would be a skill that even if they learned that they didn't want to be in the service industry, that they could apply to whatever industry that they wanted to be in. So, you know, we really like to focus and want to focus on the vocational training. We, you know, the hospitality and hotel management industry, the top three employer in the state of Florida, and it's in one of the top 30 in Sarasota, Manatee County. So we want first and foremost to focus on that, but we like the incubator and the labs because there's also just so many other skills that we're able to teach the students through the lens of cooking and food, which, and everybody loves food. You know.
Well, for sure. And Chef G, why did you all choose Booker as the place to launch this?
Well, first of all, I necessarily chose it because that's the school I graduated from.
Oh, there you
that's
go.
That's the school I graduated Terrific. From, my daughter graduated from, and my son graduated from. So because we already had a somewhat footprint into the school, I thought that would be the best way to start.
Sure.
And especially since, you know, we're so close to Booker, then, you know, why not? It's just, for me, it was the obvious choice.
And so when you all started that, what was the reception that you received from the students and when it started, and where are you today in terms of scale and scope of the students that you're serving?
Well, when we started, we had no idea what kind of response we were getting. We didn't know if we were going to get 2, 3, you know, 4 kids. You know, what anyone that came, we were happy to have. And it just so happens we started out with what, maybe 20? I want to say 20 we started off with, you know, and usually when you have a high number, it kind of dwindles down during the year. But we ended up with about 15 to 17 kids throughout the entire first semester. So right now we're at what, 25?
Yeah, this is the largest cohort we've had and nobody has left. So later this afternoon, we're walking into a kitchen with 25 eager students, which is great.
That is so wonderful. And they're all, do they represent the 9th through 12th grade?
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. And then as you were commenting, Andrew, you were saying that a lot of times people don't think about being in the culinary industry as a form of a career. So what are the students actually gaining? What are they, how are you giving them those aha moments? And have you seen the translation of students actually going into that pathway for a career?
Yes, definitely. It's been really rewarding to see. And first of all, you know, one thing that you can't measure is for some students, it's also helpful to learn what you don't want to go into. And so some of the students come in and we've had students say to us, oh, I love cooking, but I don't think I could stand on my feet for 10 hours a day. And we're like, all right, well, you know, you can go be a restaurant bookkeeper. That's fine too. And we're certainly not trying to recruit people into the service industry who have other passions, but you know, service industry is so wonderful because it's kind of a catch-all. You can get post-secondary degrees. You can go into culinary school like Chef G did here, but you don't have to. People are rewarded on merit, and it doesn't matter where you came from or what you look like in all the restaurants I've ever worked in. So as that pertains to our program, you know, we're starting our third year now, and our students are, our original students are just starting to graduate. And we've had about six students do the dual enrollment program in STC's culinary arts program. We have a student who graduated last year who's now in the hospitality hotel management undergrad study program. And we've have a dozen kids we've helped get jobs and, you know, just sort of entry-level jobs. So, the metrics are finally starting to come in, and it turns out that, you know, probably about half of our students that have joined are interested in pursuing a career. And then the other big metric we have is in the second semester, it's much more entrepreneurial focused, and we pop up a restaurant and we ask the students to write their own business plan, and they create the menu and the vibe and what they want their restaurant to be. And then we open it for a night in the cafeteria of Booker High School. And it's wild. It's super fun.
That sounds so wonderful that you all do this. And clearly what you have described is no short effort of time and energy and your own talent. So you all have your own work, so to speak, as well. So how do you, Chef G, make time for this?
Well, because of the career that I have, being a private chef, being a caterer, I'm able to schedule my time where I can devote, you know, a day or 2 days to this, because I live in Kissimmee. So every Thursday I'm driving down here to Sarasota to be here with these kids because I believe in the program. I think these students should be aware of other opportunities that are out there to them. Also, I think they should know that, you know, if you're hungry and you have something in the house, you can just take whatever you have there and create something. You know, if you have chicken, spaghetti noodles, milk, cream, and some garlic, you got chicken pasta.
We made a pot pie pizza one time. One of our best labs was sort of the clean out the pantry lab, and Chef and the students went in and they were like, all right, we've got some dough and we've got this like chicken stock gravy we made. And so, yeah, I think that's a great life skill to have.
I was going to say, because you're really tying in not only the exposure to the potential career, but you're demonstrating and teaching them how to do healthy eating, but you're also preparing them on a life skill. So, I mean, you're triangulating kind of them in so many different ways. But Chef G, I got to go back. The fact that you drive from Kissimmee, that is a huge commitment. That is.
Yeah, it is. And just because of my location, I didn't want to leave the students hanging that we've already created a somewhat rapport with. We do have guest chefs come in throughout the semester, but having that constant presence there to know that someone actually cares about what you're doing and how you're doing after school, you know, after you leave here and you go on to whatever you're going to go on to, you'll be able to hold on to those things. Because we still talk to some of the students that that we've had in our first years. You know, we're going on a third year. So those relationships and how to keep those relationships throughout your lifetime, that's important.
I'm so glad you mentioned that the Education Foundation is very committed to ensuring students have the relationships that make a difference. And we see that show up in so many different ways. And what I applaud you guys for is that for our listeners to see that volunteers can actually engage in a multitude of creative ways. And it's been no small feat for what you all have done. So what are some of the things you've actually learned just over the 3 years that you both were not anticipating to learn? What was the benefit gained from being the volunteer with this great passion?
Well, the first thing that I've actually gained is to have a deep and profound respect for teachers from jump. Having to deal with so many different personalities and having to restrain yourself from from focusing on one particular instance for the entire class, that is something that I think everyone should experience, because that helped me so much with how I'm dealing with, you know, things outside of this, you know, understanding that, you know, I may be having a horrible day, but that doesn't mean that I need to bring that in and put my horrible day onto someone else.
Right.
And if we can help also students learn that, that will make a difference for decades, because now you learn how to deal with people.
Right.
Now you learn how to accept things that's happening and how to move on through that.
I want to second that. I used to think that I had respect for teachers, and you know, the learning curve is steep. For Gordon and I, were entrepreneurs, we're in the business and the for-profit world. We've had to learn very quickly how nonprofit works and how education works. And yeah, I have such deep respect for teachers, and also the impact. You know, it's really neat. We've had students that have been with us for a couple of years now. And I listened to some of your other podcasts where, you know, the interviewees talked about how you find mentors in all different aspects of your life. And I definitely undervalued that. And yeah, it's been extremely rewarding. Sometimes I feel like we are students of our own program because we keep learning alongside them. Yeah, we learned about... learned about 6-7 last year in the Booker Bakery Middle School. So, you know.
That's good. It sounds like you all have some funny stories of what you have learned in the process. So it sounds like you are both on a wonderful journey together. And I certainly can sense the kindred spirit that you spoke about on the front end. I think that's really special. But at the ground level, you're both entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
So what are you seeing for the future of this program? What do you see as the opportunity that's in front of you that maybe needs to be scaled beyond you, or maybe not? I don't know. So how would you respond?
Our goal is to be able to expand. Booker High, Booker Middle is not the only school that needs a program like this. If I'm not overstepping, Andrew, we would like to expand throughout the county.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to allow other students that may need this type of environment after school to be a part of. So, you know, that's really what we're making steps toward, and even trying to navigate it into an actual class. Because when I was going to school, we had home ec.
Yeah.
We had shop.
You went to school the same time I did. Yeah. I had those same courses.
Yeah. So, you know, those things are those classes lead to trades. You know, everyone's not going to be a doctor.
Right.
Everyone's not going to be a lawyer. Definitely everyone's not going to be a pro athlete. So there are other industries that students need to be exposed to. And we want to expose the culinary industry to as many students as we can.
That's super.
Yeah. And I think that we do a lot in 2 hours a week, but obviously, you know, it would be a goal of ours to get this into a seated, either a pre-apprenticeship program or a CTE pathway. Booker High School used to have a hospitality and hotel management CTE pathway, and Sarasota High School has a culinary arts. Venice has culinary arts. So yeah, our goal is really to hopefully go in, and as small business entrepreneurs, we love the initial heavy lift, and to put a commercial kitchen into a high school is a significant financial investment. For example, you know, Booker High School and Booker Middle School, they allow us to use their cafeteria kitchens. Mm-hmm. And the kitchens today are not, you know, the kitchens that you and I grew up with in school that were like little hot boxes. They have a lot of equipment and it's unused space. So the goal is to go in on a low budget and show schools how we can do this and how we can introduce the idea. And then if it catches fire, then we talk about going down the next steps of getting it into a seated class.
Well, I like how you both have that shared vision. Although Chef G, I think you put the onus on Andrew to commit to the expanding on the front end. We got it on tape. We're here.
Yeah.
Again,
well, it was his idea. I was just, you know,
he just got to say it.
That's right. There you go. But I think that's actually very good that you all have a vision for all of this. And what we've seen also through our Planet Sarasota work is just the beauty of collaboration amongst different partners. So are you seeing collaborations in the restaurant industry, in the culinary industry? Maybe if someone's listening to this podcast, they could reach out to you and express an interest to
absolutely
say,
okay. So glad you teed that up. We've built this thing and it's very popular. And so yes, if there are any anyone in food service business out there who would like to partner with us, like Chef was saying earlier, we really want to focus on guest chefs because, you know, everybody has a different story to tell and a different skills that they can provide. And then in addition to that, Gordon and I aren't direct, you know, large scale employers. So, you know, we've relied on Realm Restaurant Group, Watershed Hospitality, and Geckos in particular to come in and teach their specific skill and meet with the students. And we've had 4 students go on to work at Geckos. So that's sort of the next step in our growth is to really solidify the connection from the high school to the actual workforce.
That is really terrific. You were going to add something?
Yeah, the guest chefs that come in, we're really just looking for the exposure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want these students to be exposed to different things that they normally wouldn't be exposed to at home. You know, they're ingredients that, you know, they may hit time after time after time and never experience what mahi-mahi looks like.
I think that's really plaudible. And so I want to kind of just take a minute just to hear how you would frame, because in my mind, as I listen to you all, you're taking such a level of expertise, your passion, and you're engaging with students from a community standpoint to really affect positive change in them. So if you were to give someone like that short elevator pitch of how they could get involved, what would be your words, your phrases, the impact it has made?
I would say
we got to work on our elevator pitch.
When folks ask about, okay, what is it that we really want to do? We have this whole spiel on what to do. But when you kind of bring it down and just say, okay, you got 2 sentences to say, okay, what is it that you want to do? It really just comes down to exposing students to other possibilities.
Yeah.
You know, because usually when a student hears, you're going to work in the food industry. Oh, I don't want to work at McDonald's and I don't want to work at Wendy's. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. I worked at McDonald's for 5 years. I worked at Burger King for a day.
You couldn't have it your way? Is that the Burger King?
No, I couldn't. But, you know, though, you can pull lessons from every step in life. We would like to partner with other entrepreneurs that are open to exposing students to other possibilities.
Yeah, when we reach out to chefs, we say we would like for you to share your story, because that's also something unique to the service industry is people find their way through different avenues. We tell the chefs, hey, would you mind sharing your story with our students? And would you be willing to teach a specific skill that you wish applicants for jobs knew when they came into your restaurant? And usually when we say that, they're very excited. You know, we've had probably 15 to 20 different guest chefs come in over the last 2.5 years, and they all come from very unique and different backgrounds. And so they love sharing their stories. So usually we just sort of share those 2 talking points, you know, share your story, teach a skill that you think is important. And I think it's very rewarding for them. They oftentimes thank us and say they want to, and tell us they want to come back.
And I do think that's the magic sauce is when you're asking someone to volunteer, you're asking them to give their time, but the exchange rate you get X-fold in terms of how it impacts you personally. And I think I can see that just in the way you all radiate and share your
Absolutely.
Story. Yeah, that's wonderful. So if somebody actually wants to find out more about how to get involved in your work, certainly we don't want them they can contact us. Always they can contact us. But what's the best in a most efficient way for them to contact you is how?
Sure. They can, if they go to scratchmadekitchen.org, they can see the list of our programs that we're offering currently. There's also a way that you can apply to come be one of our guest lecturers or guest chefs. And then also if you're an educator out there and you think that an after-school culinary program would be good for your school, be it middle school or high school, you can reach out to us that way too. And also reach out to the Education Foundation. We've been so appreciative. You all have been very supportive since I met you, Jennifer, about a year and a half ago. So,
well, I just love what you all are doing. And Chef G, are you still making your chicken sandwiches?
Yes. Yeah. Still doing chicken sandwiches, still doing the collard green egg rolls. You know, we're still doing that mac and cheese bites.
Oh,
you know,
my goodness.
He's the inventor of the collard green egg roll. It's
wow.
Well, okay, I'm not the inventor. I just kind of perfected what it was already.
Oh, wow. We got to put that on like a Master Chef show or some competition. That sounds amazing. Well, I have just so enjoyed this time with you all. And I just thank you both so much for what you're doing to give back to these students. Again, there's so much potential that all of our kids can learn and gain from people like you. And again, it's the relationships that really have made a difference. So thank you for being a part of today's podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, appreciate it being here. Thanks so much.
It was great. And really appreciate all you listeners tuning into our podcast, and really want to make sure that you know that you can check out any of our podcasts anywhere you listen to your favorite show. And that's it for now. It's Jennifer Vine signing off for the Education Foundation of Sarasota County.